Before I speak to you today, I'm going to do something that I did last week on the program. I want to tell you about a set of books that I have here. I think they're very good. I think they're very helpful for people who want to study the Word of God, who teach Sunday school, people who teach Bible classes, but people who do not have time to study the deeper and heavier commentaries. Now, I know there are plenty of commentaries out. We don't need a new commentary written like most of them are written. They're heavy. They're hard to read. They're complicated. But what I've done for the last several years is write a commentary in ordinary, everyday language. I've studied John Calvin, John Gill, Matthew Poole, Matthew Henry, Haldane, Spurgeon, all these different men on the verses. Each verse in the 21 epistles in the New Testament, and I brought it down to a nutshell. I did this for our Sunday school classes at 13th Street Baptist Church. I started this years ago and began writing the lessons verse by verse and giving the meaning of the verse in a brief statement. And I have them here, the books. There's six volumes, six books. Here's Romans. This is the book of Romans. And then we have the book of 1st and 2nd Corinthians. And this, some of you may have a few of these because a company in England published them, Evangelical Press, and they published them one at a time over a period of almost 2 years. But the set is complete now. 21 epistles in the New Testament, starting at Romans and going all the way through to Jude, verse by verse. And if you'd like to have these books, if you'll write to us, we sell them for actually less than what we pay for them. We sell them actually for less because I'm not using gimmicks and devices and tricks to get people to support this program. God supports this program, and it's supported abundantly and sufficiently and has been for 12 years. But I want you to have these books if you're interested in studying the Word and teaching the Word. You write, and we'll mail you these books. They cost $10. That's six paperback books of 21 epistles, and they've been a blessing to a lot of people. They're now in 30 English-speaking countries, and they're being translated into French and Portuguese. They're going into Africa and Spain and Brazil and other countries. And if you'd like to have them, as many sets as you'd like to have, write to me, and we'll send them to you in the next few days. But you think about it, and if you'd like to have them, let us hear from them. The address will be given at the end of the broadcast. Now, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to John chapter 20, the 20th chapter of John, verse 31. Now, here's my subject. What shall we believe? What shall we believe and why? Now, here's what John writes in John 20, verse 31. But these are written. This is at the end of his epistle. John, the Apostle John, has come to the end of his gospel account. And he says, all that I've written, everything that I've written, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has been written with one object in view. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Messiah, that Jesus of Nazareth is the Redeemer, the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you might have life through His name. That's why this is written. It wasn't written to cultivate tradition or to help people to argue and debate. It wasn't written as a book of proverbs and good sayings. These things were written that you might believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through His name. Now, that's why John said, I've written these things. Now, using this text, I'd like to deal with two questions today, just two very simple questions. The first of which is this. Well, what is a man to believe? What are we to believe in order to have eternal life? Preacher, would you just talk in plain everyday language and tell me what is a man to believe in order to have eternal life? I'll be glad to. I'll be most happy to. And then I'm going to answer this question. On what authority? On whose authority can I promise eternal life to a person who believes what I'm preaching? All right, let's take the first question. What is a man to believe in order to obtain eternal life? Well, this tells you right here in this verse. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. And that believing you might have life in His name. Now, a person, in order to be justified, sanctified, redeemed before God, must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's what he said. That you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, comma, the Son of God. Now, the four writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, who present the gospel of Christ, each present him with a different emphasis. Matthew presents him as the King of the Jews. That's very obvious. Mark presents Christ Jesus as the servant. Luke presents him as the Son of Man. John, the scripture we're reading now, the book we're reading now, John presents him as the Son of God. The Son of God. He begins in chapter 1 and says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And all things were made by Him. Without Him was not anything made that was made. And that Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth, the Son of God." The Son of God. In other words, John is saying, he who rejects the deity and Godhead of Jesus Christ can never know God or come to God in salvation, because Jesus Christ is God. And Christ said Himself, if you believe not that I am He, you'll die in your sins. I am He. I am whom? God. When he asked the disciples, "Whom do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "Well, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God." And He said, "Blessed are you, Simon. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but My Father which is in heaven." Philip had preached to the eunuch. The eunuch said, "Here's water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said, "If you believe, you may." He said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Am I making myself clear? I'm not saying that you can have a good opinion of Jesus of Nazareth, that you can and be saved and find eternal life. That you can say, well, you know, he was like Mohammed or Confucius, good man, a reformer, a Christian leader, a healer, a preacher. No, wait a minute now. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that was the conflict he had with the Pharisees. He said, "Many good works have I done among you. For which of these do you stone me?" They said, "We're not stoning you for a good work. We've got no objection to your good works. But we stone you because you say you're God. You're a man. You can't be God." God became a man, and that's what I'm going to say next. We're to believe not only that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, we're to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. My friend, do you know what incarnation is? God became a man. I'm not even going to attempt to explain that. I can't explain that. But I do know that Jesus Christ is God in human flesh. Now, here's what I'm saying. Isaiah wrote, Isaiah 7:14, "Behold, the Lord Himself will give you a sign. A virgin shall conceive, and thou shalt call His name Emmanuel, God with us." Isaiah wrote again in chapter 9, "Unto us a son is born, a child is born, unto us a son is given, and His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." To the Son, the Father said, Thy throne, O God, is forever. I'm saying that Jesus Christ is not only God, He's man. He's perfect God and perfect man. Now listen again. He was born of a woman, conceived by the Holy Ghost, but made of a woman and brought forth from a woman's womb and nursed on a woman's breast and grew up in a carpenter's shop. And that person is God tabernacled in human flesh. He performed many miracles. He performed miracles to cause the blind to see and the lame to walk and the deaf to hear and the dead to live and the hungry to eat and the thirsty to drink. But He never in His entire 33 and a half years in the flesh as a man, He never performed one miracle to relieve Himself of one trial, difficulty, sorrow, or test. He limited Himself. God in human flesh must fulfill all that the law requires of His people being tested and tried as we are, with a full trial, the full test, and yet without sin. But He couldn't use a miracle to get out of it. That's the reason Satan said, if you're the Son of God, make these stones into bread. He'd been fasting 40 days. Now, He did that for others who were fasting. He multiplied bread for them, but not for Himself. He's a man. He's a man. He's a man. And this was the main issue. God in Christ reconciling the world to Himself. That's what we're to believe. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Son of God. That man who died on that cross is God in human flesh. All right, here's the third one thing. We are to believe that Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of God, the Son of Man, is the Christ, the Christ. Now, does that mean anything to you? I know some of you have been in church all your life, but what is Jesus Christ is not a curse word. Jesus is the Christ. The Christ is an office. Jesus is His name of humiliation. Jesus is His name in the flesh. Jehovah God is His name, but Jesus is His name in the flesh, and Christ is His office. Peter said, "We believe that Thou art the Christ." He didn't say, we believe you're Jesus Christ. We believe you're Jesus the Christ. The crowd asked John, are you the Christ? He said, I'm not the Christ. They said of Jesus, is not this the Christ? The woman of Samaria said when she met Him at the well, she went down into town. She said, I saw a man and heard a man who told me everything about myself. Is not this the Christ? And Acts 2:36, Peter said, God hath made this same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Who is this Christ you're talking about? Well, He's the Old Testament promise. He's the Messiah. He's the one they look for. He's the consolation of Israel. He's the kinsman redeemer. He's that prophet Moses said God would raise from among the brethren. He's that priest like Melchizedek. He's that king who's the son of David. He's the Lord, our righteousness, of whom Jeremiah wrote. He's the stem and rod of Jesse. He's the king of Salem. He's Shiloh that Jacob talked about. He's the branch. He's the bridegroom Solomon wrote about. He's the kinsman redeemer that Boaz and Ruth talked about. He's the atonement. All of the Old Testament promises and prophecies concerning the Christ, the Messiah, the Emancipator, the Redeemer is fulfilled in Jesus Christ, Jesus of Nazareth. The disciples said, we found Him of whom the Scripture says He is the Christ. And more than that, summing all of it up, He's the seed of Abraham. The seed of Abraham. What are we to believe? These things are written, John said, that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ. Jesus the man, Jesus the carpenter, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus of Galilee, Jesus of Bethlehem and Calvary and the Mount of Olives. Jesus is the Christ. The Christ of God, anointed, ordained, sent, promised, the fulfillment of every scripture. The Son of God. The Son of God. And then it says that you might have life through His name. We're to believe on Him and call on His name. Now, have you ever thought about His name? I know you've seen how many times the Scripture talks about His name. It says that through His name you might have eternal life. It says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It says, there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It says, through this man's name is preached remission and forgiveness of sin. Why does God keep talking about His name? We know His name, Jesus. Do you really? Do you really? I know a lot of folks named Jesus. Mexico's full of them. But His name, that's the reason God keeps talking about His name. His name describes His character. His name identifies who He is. His name is His attributes. Moses said, "What is your name?" When Moses stood on that mountain, God said, "Take off your shoes. You're on holy ground." He said, "We'll send you down into Egypt to deliver my people." Moses said, "What is your name?" Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord till the break of day, and Jacob said, "What is your name?" Well, you have a God. You call Him Jesus. I ask you, what's His name? What's His name? There's power in that name. And in the Old Testament, there's a sevenfold name of Jehovah. A sevenfold name. Have you ever looked at it? He's called in Genesis 22:13, Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. Abraham said that. The Lord will provide. The Lord will provide Himself a lamb. The Lord who must have a lamb will provide for Himself a lamb, and will provide Himself the lamb, and will provide for us a lamb. He provides it all. He needs no help. And then He called in Exodus, Jehovah Rapha, I am the Lord that healeth thee, that healeth all thy diseases. And my friend, we're not just talking about our broken arms and shriveled feet and arthritis pains. I'm talking about our sins and diseases of soul, the leprosy of the soul. God has cleansed us and made us whole. By His stripes we're healed. Healed. And that's the healing we need. That's the healing we need so that we'll never die. You can heal these deaf ears of mine, and I'm going to die in 10 years or 12 or 13 years anyway, or less than that. But God healed me forever. He healed my soul. You see that? I wish we weren't putting so much emphasis on the body and had a little bit of concern about our souls. And then He's called in Exodus 17, Jehovah Nissi. He's the Lord our banner. The battle is the Lord's. It's not mine. It's His. I'm not going to get upset. He's on the throne and the battle's going well. Call to the far corners of the battlefield. How's it going? It's going well. The battle is the Lord's. The captain's in command. And then in Judges 6:24, He's called Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. That's who Christ is. That's His name. And He's Jehovah Reah. That's in Psalm 23. He's my shepherd. I shall not want. And then He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, Jeremiah 23. That's the Lord, my righteousness, my sanctification, my holiness. I have a holiness and a sanctification. And it's not measured by your rules either. It's measured by His. And I didn't meet it. Christ did. And then He's called Jehovah Shema, Ezekiel 48, the Lord's present. That's His name. That's His name. And that's the life that we have through His name and all that His name implies and imparts. That's right. These things are written that you might believe. And I'll tell you something else, not just with your head either. I'm talking about with your heart. You see, this faith in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His person and work, is not merely a knowledge, a head knowledge of some facts. It's a heart committal and a heart trust. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Keep thy heart out of it of the issues of life. My son, give me your heart. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to be Lord and believe in thine heart, God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with a heart man believeth unto righteousness. These things are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And that believing with the heart, you might have life, eternal life, eternal glory, through His name, because He's Jehovah Tsidkenu, our righteousness, because He's Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, the Lord that provideth. He is the Lord my shepherd. He is the Lord my banner. He is the Lord who's present. That's why we have life through His name. Now, these are the things a man must believe. My friends, there are no shortcuts. The Pharisees asked, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? He said, these are the works of God, that you believe on Him whom God has sent. Now, my second question, on what authority can the preacher promise eternal life to those who believe Christ is the Son of God? On what authority? Well, let me give it to you. Will you listen? First of all, it's the command of God that you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to 1 John 3:23. This is His commandment. This is His commandment that we should believe on the name, there it is again, of the Son of God, and that we should love one another as He gave us commandment. That's His commandment. What God commands me to do, I have every right and reason to do. Does that make sense to you? Lazarus, come forward. May I? Well, He told you to. Take up your bed and walk. Would it be all right if I did it? He told you to. That's pretty good authority, isn't it? This is His commandment that you believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. On what authority? I believe on Christ and expect eternal life. I'll tell you secondly, it's the character of God to show mercy. That's right. Moses says, Lord, show me your glory. He said, I'll make all my goodness pass before you. My goodness is my glory. I will be merciful to whom I will be merciful. I'll be gracious to whom I will be gracious. If thou, Lord, David said, shouldest mark iniquity, who would stand? But Lord, there's forgiveness with thee. Isn't that a marvel? There's forgiveness with God. God's plenteous in mercy. The scripture said He delights to show mercy. That's pretty good authority for believing, isn't it? He delights to show mercy. If I delight to do something, well, you can be pretty sure that I'll do it if I can. And then on this authority, I expect to find life in Christ. He came into the world to save sinners. I'm a sinner. You're a sinner. He came to save sinners. Paul said that. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation that Christ came into the world to save sinners. Well, if He came down here to do that, then why shouldn't I expect Him to do it? He said He came to seek and to save the lost. I'm a lost sinner. I need Christ. Why would He save me? He said God didn't send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. That's why he came. That's why he died. And I'll tell you, on this authority, I believe that the Son of God is Jesus Christ, and expect life through his name after he died and rose again. Before he ascended back to heaven, he appeared to his disciples and he said, go into all the world now and preach this gospel to every creature, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life in his name. Now you go preach this, and he that believes it shall be saved, and he that doesn't shall be damned. And Paul summed it up with this, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which you received, wherein you stand, by which you're saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. And then last, I'll close with this. On what authority do I believe that I have life by believing on Jesus Christ? Because of this, if Christ is not the Savior, who is? That's a pretty good question. Who is? He asked his disciples one day, said, will you go away? They said, to whom shall we go? That's a good question. Shall we go to the temple? No salvation there. Shall we go to the law? Shall we go to the priests? They can't save themselves. Shall we go to the flesh? Shall we go to the ordinances? I tell you where I'm going. I'm going to Christ. I'm going to Christ. And I wish you would. If you want this tape, I preached a message last week on the subject Christ and Him crucified. And then this one today on what are we to believe. And these two messages are on one tape. If you want these books, let us know. If you want the tape, send $2. We'll mail them to you. Here's the address. Until next week, God bless you, everyone.